Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
All right. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. Let the kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. All right. We got a treat for you this morning. We're going to be hearing from two mothers. And Amanda is going to be speaking. This is Pastor Austin's wife. She's going to go first, and then after her, my friend and my sweetheart, my wife, and my go-to will be coming next, okay? So God bless you.
Thank you. Good morning and happy Mother's Day. My name is Amanda, and as Pastor John said, I'm married to Austin Nally, who's your youth and children's pastor. I am the daughter of Mark and Lisa Collins. My mom is over here today. And I am a mom to Titus, the little blonde kid that's back there. And when Pastor Terry called me and asked me to speak today, one of the things that crossed my mind is that I really have not been a mom for all that long. My son will be 3 in June. But in the last 3 years, I have really been a mom to about 6 kids. And if that math doesn't make sense to you, it's because I'm a foster mom as well. So all right. So over the past a little over a year, we have had 5 foster children, one of whom is still placed in our home. And when I tell people that I am a foster parent, I usually hear a few things. First of all, people tend to think that I'm a saint, and in the sense that I am born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, I am a saint. But that's not what they mean. And the thing that I want to tell you, if that's what you think of foster parents, is that, you know, parenthood is a sanctifying battleground. And being a parent brings out the ugly in you sometimes, and things come out of your mouth and you want to stick them back in there. But parenting other people's children really brings out the ugly in you. And so being a foster parent does not necessarily mean that you are a saint, because it can be really difficult. And I see some other foster parents over there shaking their heads, right? The other thing I hear is that people say things like, I could never do that because I would get too attached. And while I do understand the sentiment, I have good news for you. It's actually kind of hard to build an attachment. And that might not make sense to you if you've only ever parented your own biological children. But when a scared, lonely little stranger comes into your home, and they are panicking because their whole world has been turned upside down, they don't necessarily exhibit behaviors that give you warm, fuzzy feelings that make you want to hug them and snuggle them and keep them forever. And that's not their fault at all, but it's the reality sometimes of what it looks like to be a foster parent. Sometimes these kids are acting out of survival mechanisms and trauma responses, and they know that you're not their biological parents, and they wish that they were with them. And so sometimes, especially when you have your own biological children that you do have all these warm, fuzzy feelings for, it actually can be kind of hard to form an attachment. And one of the things that I think the Lord has been teaching me recently is about favoritism. I've been reading through James, and James 2 is all about favoritism, and that as believers, we are called not to exhibit favoritism to people. The example it gives in that passage is a rich man and a poor man coming into the room, and that you shouldn't be treating the rich man differently than you're treating the poor man, because it's the poor and the meek and the humble that God uses to build his kingdom. And I think that's been so convicting to me, because sometimes it's just really natural to show favoritism towards your own children. God has really been convicting me that it is the meek and the humble that he's bringing into my home that he's going to use for his kingdom, and that I can't show favoritism to them regardless of what my feelings are. that I can't exhibit favoritism to them. And, you know, I know that's an exaggerated example in a home like ours where there's foster children and there's biological children. But that happens in homes where all the children are biological too. You connect with different children differently. And you may feel a different way about one than you feel about another. But it's crucial that our kids don't feel like they were not the favorite. Now, in reality, I know that there were three children in my home growing up, and I was my mother's favorite. I'm aware. I still am, okay? But I think she did a really good job of not showing the other ones that she liked me better. But I always knew, okay? But all jokes aside, that I think that's something that God is calling us to, is to resist favoritism in our homes. The end of that passage in James 2 ends with a verse that we all probably know that says, mercy triumphs over judgment. And this is a lesson that my foster kids have really taught me, is that our children need our mercy a lot more than they need our judgment. And it can be really easy to judge our kids, especially kids that are coming into my home in foster care, that you're too old for this. You're too big for this. You shouldn't be acting this way. Or, you know, that you're selfish. You don't care about anyone but yourself. Whatever those things are, we're saying either in our heads or out loud to our children that are shaming them and judging them are not productive. And they're going to carry those words and those thoughts into adulthood with them. And what they really need is our mercy to say, I forgive you. It's okay. I know that you're struggling. You know, I know this situation is hard for you. And I don't say that our children don't need our discipline. They do need our discipline. But discipline and judgment are different. And when we're shaming our kids and judging them, we're not covering them in mercy. And I think especially in these scared, lonely strangers that are coming into my home, what they really, really need from me is mercy. And so I hope that you will show mercy to your own children and see how fruitful that is in their lives when you pour that over them. The other thing I wanted to talk about today is, a lesson I've learned from my own child, that your children are not just for you. And I learned this very, very early in Titus's life. My son was born in June of 2020, which was a dark season for a lot of people. We were locked up in our houses in the middle of the pandemic. I was a teacher, so I was having to do all that online school stuff. People were rioting in the streets that summer. I don't know if you guys remember seeing that on the news. And in our own family, while I was at the hospital having my son Titus, nobody could be there but my husband because it was the middle of the pandemic. My family couldn't be with me. My mom couldn't be with me. But all of my family was in a hospital about an hour and a half down the road because my grandfather was dying. And he passed away before I got out of the hospital. And so about a week after Titus, not even a week after Titus was born, I had to get in the car and ride 2 hours with this brand new baby up to the mountains and go to my grandfather's funeral. And we came into the church and we were in this downstairs nursery. And I was preparing to leave this baby for the first hour that I had ever left him so that I could go sit in my grandfather's funeral. And my whole family came down the stairs, my aunts and my uncles and my cousins, and they were so excited to see him and to hold him. And it was such a normal moment. And I realized that he wasn't just for me, that already in this first week of his life, that God was using him to lift up and to bring joy and to bring hope to a family that was hurting, that was, you know, mourning a loss they felt like they shouldn't have had to have. And I knew then that Titus wasn't just mine, that he was here for a family. He was here for a community. And most importantly, that he belongs to God, that he doesn't just belong to me. And I thought about a lot of mothers in the Bible who understood that their children belonged to the Lord. I think of Moses when his mother put him in a basket and floated him down the river and surrendered whatever was going to happen to him to the Lord. And of course, there were some trials in Moses' life, but he ended up bringing a lot of glory to the Lord. And I think about Hannah, and I read over this story this morning, and I'm glad that I did. Hannah prayed for years and years that God would give her a son. And then as soon as he was a toddler, she sent him to go live with the priest and serve in the temple. And she left him there. She gave him to God. And I was reading over this passage and thinking about when she would come to visit him and bring him a new ceremonial robe in a new size. And she had to leave. And I can't imagine what she felt like when she walked away. I know that her feelings were, I want to go back and I want to bring him home with me. I want him to be with me, right? I prayed for this child for years and years, and God did give her more children and reward her in that way. But she surrendered her child's life to the Lord. I think about Elizabeth. When John the Baptist was in her womb and he met Jesus for the first time, kind of, sort of, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit and he leapt in her womb, and she saw so early in her child's life the way that God was working in his life. And she had to know, God's going to do something with this kid. And Mary, I mean, from the very beginning, she saw that this kid is not normal, okay? I mean, she knew. I don't think Mary understood exactly what was going to happen to Jesus. I think only the Father knew. But I think Mary saw the signs all throughout his life of what God was going to do with Jesus' life. And it says so many times in Scripture that she saw these things and she treasured them in her heart, that she held on to this, that she knew how God was going to use him. And I think about my own mom as she said goodbye to me so many times to send me off to some summer camp I was working at instead of coming home for the summer from college, or to Uganda or Guatemala or Honduras or wherever I was heading on some mission trip, or I left with a children's choir for about 6 months. And I think about how my mom could have closed her fist and she could have said no. She could have said, I don't want you to go. It's not worth the money. It's not safe. But she didn't. She said yes, and she said, I'll see you later. And I think back to earlier in my life that my own mother must have known what God was going to do with my life. That, you know, when I wanted to serve in children's ministry, when I went to, she took me to a Stephen Curtis Chapman concert in the sixth grade, and I learned about adoption for the first time. And I prayed for years and years that my mom and dad would adopt a kid, and they never did. But I realized that that calling was for me. And, you know, she had to know when I told people in the fourth and fifth grade that I wanted to be an international missionary when I grew up. She had to know that these things were going to happen, that she was going to have to say these hard goodbyes, and that she was going to have to surrender my life to the Lord and trust him to protect me and to use me and to bring him glory. And I think about my son Titus, and man, I already see it. I look at this kid and I see these character traits in him that I'm like, man, God is going to use that. And, you know, he's so smart and he communicates so well and he's so thoughtful. I came home the other day and I had been somewhere a little later than usual, and I opened the door, and Titus is almost 3 years old, and he said to me, I was worried about you. We were at the dinner table the other night, and Austin was making some joke about how mommy was a loser. And Titus said, mommy's not a loser. She's a, and what would you expect him to say there? She's a winner, right? No, that's not what he said. He said, she's a keeper. And I can tell you that this sweet little boy who's so thoughtful and so articulate and so smart, I want to keep him for myself. I want to lock him up in my house and not let him leave. And I bet you feel the same way about your kid too, right? But my prayers for him are already this, that God would save his soul, that God Of course, I pray for his protection and his safety like all of you do, right? But I pray that God would save him. I pray that God would sanctify him. I pray for his future spouse. I pray that God would make him a mighty man of God, that he would be a kingdom builder, and that his future would be so much bigger than I could ever expect. And I pray those things over his life, and I already know that there are going to be hard things I can't protect him from, and there are going to be hard goodbyes I don't want to say. But I want to surrender his life to the Lord. I want to have a kingdom view of what his life means, that his life isn't just about being my son, that I don't need to be the most important part of his story, but that his life is about following and serving and knowing the Lord and making him known. And, you know, I think that it was so important that I learned that lesson so early in his life, that his life is not about me. And I'm so grateful that God gives me the honor and the privilege to disciple him and to build him up and to teach him and to nurture him, because there's no way I'm going to know how much of an impact that's going to make in eternity. When Abraham and Sarah longed for children and God told them they would have them in their old age, and Sarah laughed in God's face like, that's not going to happen, they had no idea what it would look like that an entire group of people, an entire faith, would come from their family line. Right? And I have no idea what God's going to do through my child or through any children that I may have in the future, or that may, who may become part of our family in the future. But I do know that it's crucial that I surrender their lives to the Lord, and that I open my hand and allow God to do what he wants to do with them. So as I close today, I just want to encourage you to ask yourself whether you're surrendering your child's life to the Lord, not just for their safety and for their protection, but also for God to accomplish his will in and through them. And to remember to shower your children in mercy and not to pick favorites. I also want to take a moment to just acknowledge those of you who this day is really hard for, because you're grieving the loss of a mother, the loss of a child. You're grieving a broken family that didn't look the way you wanted to look, or even you're separated from your children because of adoption or foster care or whatever. I just want to let you know that I'm thinking of you and I'm praying for you. Those of you who long to be mothers and have not yet been, that I'm thinking of you and I'm praying for you. And I hope all of you have a very happy Mother's Day. Thank you for your time. And I'm going to turn things over to Miss Faye.
So my assignment this morning is to say thank you for all those things Amanda just said that was very, very wonderful. And I'm serious when I say that my assignment is to say thank you this morning, because a lot of times mothers do a lot. They do a lot. So I want to encourage you. I want to exalt you. The word exalt means to praise and to raise you up, no matter where you are, as you continue your role as a godly mother. The assignment of a mother is large, just like she talked about. But sometimes I think we don't even realize it. I myself did not even realize the role of a mother. Even stepping into it as a young child, I didn't. But God gave me help. And another thing that I want to do, sometimes I talk fast, so I have to tell myself to slow it down. So one thing I really want to do is to thank God for all of my children. All of my children are here this morning, my grandchild, my son-in-law, Miss Sue, Richard, my family. So I thank God for that this morning. So when you leave today, if you don't remember anything I said, I want you to remember the words, thank you for your service. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for all that you do. And one of the things that I want to do is I want to give you some responsibilities and some roles of a mother to give you a broader aspect of what she does, just in case you don't see and understand what she's doing. Okay? So a mom, again, does many, many things for us, me, you, that we did not realize. They have roles and responsibilities of a mother that consist of being a backbone. And please forgive us, any mother in here, if we didn't realize that and say thank you at the time. And, you know, sometimes, y'all, we don't value and we don't see how important it is for you to tell somebody thank you. Because if you tell me thank you when I do something, it makes me want to do a little bit more for you. And so thank you is important, but people nowadays don't say thank you enough. Even to each other, we don't say thank you enough. And we need to begin to say, because you know what? Miss Vicky taught me this many years ago. She said, you know, Miss Faye, she said, people don't have to give you anything. And that means a gift or even kind words. People don't have to give you anything. So you have to be very appreciative of everything people do. And I want us to get that in our hearts and in our minds. It doesn't matter, y'all, what the culture is. We're born again believers. So our culture is that of Jesus Christ and his word. And to love each other and to care for each other and to come alongside each other. So we have to be reminded of that, because sometimes the pressures of this life will push you and think, well, you have to act that way. No, you don't. You need to keep on being who you are, and that's a born-again believer in the eyes and in the sight of Jesus Christ. A mother helps us. She maintains godly traditions and values. She takes care of me, us, as from a baby. Think about that. From a baby to a toddler to a child, to a teenager, into an adult. That's a lot of stages. So she has to have a quality of being very, very patient. Very, very patient. And I want to say this about the adoptive mothers. Amanda was saying, well, we're nothing special. I think you are, because you choose. You choose to bring someone in your home. You choose to share everything it is about your life with them. You think about it. This is a child that doesn't have a home, has no hope, has no everything, and you say yes to them. So I think you all are very special people. I really do. We all are as mothers, but especially because you choose to love. You choose. Thank you, because a mother has a nurturing, and that nurturing involves providing emotional support, again, our values, our morals. It helps us to grow into responsible adults. A mother's love is one of the most important and powerful emotions, they say, in this world, because it is selfless, it is unconditional, and it knows no boundaries. Now, you think about us when our kids get into something. What is the first thing a mother do? The first mode is to go and rescue that child. No matter what. And then if the husband is not moving fast enough, we kind of look at him. You know, we kind of look at him to say, is there a problem? You know, I mean, we need to get going with this. You know what I'm saying? And so that's the kind of love that, you know, the mother has for her child. A mother can inspire and does inspire a child to do the impossible and to overcome any obstacle. It's almost like there are a force in our lives that changes the very course of our life. You know, I was sharing with a young lady about staying on track with her life. And when I drew a picture of her for her to understand that if she made some decisions that were not good, it would take her off her course of where she wants to go. She really, really understood that. And that's the way we have to do sometimes, is ask ourselves the question, Lord, is this the course that you want me to take? Now, mama would tell you, don't take that course sometime. But if you take that course, mamas, I encourage you to kind of let them see the full picture if they get off course of some things that will happen. But that's the love. We want to protect you. We don't want you to be hurt. We don't want you to be harmed. We don't want you to go through things. You know, and so we have to understand that. Mother gives us strength. She gives us courage. She gives us hope. She provides all of our basic needs. She gives us the essential foundations to grow and to develop into independent adults. You know, it makes us proud when our children can grow up and stand alone. You know, when they can stand alone. And that's our assignment. I want you to know that's our assignment. And if you are a mother, whether you know it or not, you have been called to that position to do it. And because God called you, he qualified you. Come on, he gave you everything that you needed to do that. If you don't know, ask another lady, allow her to come alongside you and help you. But everything that we need to do this, God has given to us. They give us basic needs as food, shelter, clothing, guidance, love. You know, really, they're one of the most important people it is in our lives. Now, this is the part we don't like. They have to give us discipline. They teach their children the right from wrong and instill a sense of responsibility. They let us know what our rules and our boundaries are. They provide structure. They give us routine. They teach children how to behave in a way that is respectful and considerate of others, to learn control and develop a sense of inner discipline. And I would say to the mothers, that's one piece right there that we really need to drive home in 2023, because now children have no boundaries. They have no responsibility. They have no teaching. And so it's okay. And I want to throw this in there. Don't wait for the church to teach your child Sunday school. That's your job to do. You do that. You sit them down. You teach them what is right and what is wrong. And if they don't understand, allow them, like Amanda said, that mercy, allow them to come and sit down with you and have a conversation and tell them why. You know, tell them why. Communicate with them. A mother is a caregiver. They feed us, they bathe us, they dress us, they take us to the doctor, to the dentist, to checkups when we're sick. You know, a mother can almost look at her child and tell when the child don't even feel good and say, baby, are you feeling all right today? Now just think, that's a mother's heart. That's what a mother does. And then a mother is a role model. They set an example for their children to follow. They're honest, they're respectful, they have good character. So thank you, mothers, for everything that you do. And I think this scripture describes it. In 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, it says, love is patient, love is kind. It isn't jealous, it doesn't brag, it isn't arrogant, it isn't rude, it doesn't seek its own advantage, it isn't irritable, it doesn't keep a record of complaints, it isn't happy with injustice, but happy with the truth. Love puts all things, love puts up with all things, trusts in all things, hope for all things, endures all things. The good news is that no matter what happens, you can always count on the mother to give you love unlike no other. And if there are any mothers here today, that you feel like, well, Miss Faye, I'm not that. That's not me. But you can be. If you're a mother, you can be. And all you have to do, if you feel like, well, I have failed in that area, this is the good part. All you have to do is say, Lord Jesus, will you please forgive me? And to send me someone and help me to be the mother that I want to be. Because I want you to leave here today too, feeling loved, feeling appreciated, feeling that you're going to make it. Because sometimes y'all mothering is not easy. It is not easy. But we can do it because God has given us his grace, his mercy. He's also given us the older women. And I'm going to read a scripture to you so that you'll understand that he gave them so when they come alongside you, that you will receive them and say, yes, I need your help. And it's okay, y'all. It is okay to need help. Help just means I want to do what's right, but I don't know how. That's all it means is. It doesn't mean that you're low or you're not good enough. It just means I don't know how to do this and I need some help. And guess what? Every person in this room can raise their hand and say, at one point in time, I had to go ask somebody for some help. Amen. Titus 2, 3 through 5 says, older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. This is the reason why, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, and if you don't have a husband, love the Lord. Amen. Don't worry about if you don't have a husband. When he comes, then you can love him. This part right here will apply to you. And guess what? It's got to be some growing to come to get to that point too. But we'll get there because God is with us. Women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands so that the word of God be not dishonored. I'm just telling y'all some of the things that we do that sometimes go unnoticed, but they're there. And we need them because without them, we would not develop into what we are today. Now, this is the good thing. God has given you favor. In Luke 1 and 30, it says, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his sayings and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And listen to what it said, Luke 31 and 30 said, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. So today, fear not, women, because God has found favor with you. The favor of God is upon all the mothers. God has given us grace. You know what grace means? Grace means, like when Amanda talked about, if we don't automatically get it right, then we got some grace to fix it and make it better and to get it right. So what I'm trying to do is take away all the excuses so that we can mount up and do the things that that God has assigned for us to do. God gives us two things. He gives us the natural help, which I just read to you, the older women, because they have experienced, y'all. They've gone where we need to go. They've dealt with some situations, and I know some of the younger women say, well, you know what? They wouldn't understand. You would be surprised at someone what the older ladies would understand because they've been there. They were young, too. They were inexperienced, too. Somebody had to come and help them, too. You know what I'm saying? So I want you to understand that help is there for you if you need it. Then he gives us spiritual help. His grace, his unmerited favor, help in the time of need, the ability to do what we could not do when we rely on him. And that is, part of that is relying on God. Part of that is relying on the woman that God puts in your life. You know, sometimes, y'all, when we pray, I don't know why, but we think it's going to fall out of heaven. And it does, but it falls out in the form of another woman when we're talking about mother. It falls out of heaven in the form of the scriptures for God to teach us what to do. It falls out of heaven in the picture of help when somebody comes along and gives you an encouraging word or just to nudge you to say, do you need some help? You know, do you need some help? The older women that I grew up with, they would come alongside you and start doing stuff. You know what I'm saying? They would. Baby, let me show you how to do this. Baby, let me show you how to do that. I remember Mother Lane used to say, honey, if you don't know how to cook, she said, call us and we'll come over. We'll show you how to cook. Everything that we needed. And Mother Lane watched your children. So if your children didn't look quite right like Mother Lane wanted them to look, she'd come alongside you. Baby, do you need some help? That's she would do that. But now that to some of you may seem like that was ugly. Honey, that was love. Baby, do you need some help? She was offering what she had to me so that my situation would be better. So in closing, I want you to understand, and I want all the women, if you will, I want every mother in here to stand up for me, please. I want you to stay standing for a minute. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to speak the word of God over you. And I want you to, as we speak it over us, then I want you to take that into your heart. Now listen, I don't care what your situation looked like. I don't care what it smelled like. I don't care. I'm serious. I don't care what it looks like, honey. There's hope. Because the word of God is true and it doesn't lie. It never changes. So if God said this about me today, this is going to be the same tomorrow. And the day after and the day after. And it's going to be the same if my child get in trouble. And it's going to be the same if my child was good. And it's going to be the same. I'm serious. We have to get that put in our mind because if you don't understand when something happened, you may not see me. You may not see Amanda, but God is there and he's with you continually. Proverbs 31:26-29 said this. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instructions in her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also And he praises her. Many women do noble things, but surpasses them all. Numbers 6 and 24 through 26 says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Psalms 128, 1 through 3 said, blessed are all who fear the Lord. Walk in obedience to him. You will eat the fruit of his labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. For I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out of my spirit on your offspring and your blessings and your descendants. So mothers, again, I say to you, thank you for all that you do. And I ask everyone in here to please just give the mothers a standing ovation and celebrate them today. And I hope you have a wonderful Mother's Day.
All right. Well, let's just give them moms another round of applause. Amen. Thank you, mothers. Amen. So with that, we just thank everyone for coming out. Thank you, Amanda. You did great. Appreciate that. And Miss Faye, thank you. Amen. Did an awesome job. How many of you mothers feel encouraged now? Amen. Praise God. Me too. Happy mama, happy home, right? Amen. All right. Okay, we're going to get ready to dismiss, but I have an announcement for you. Please have your cell phones when you go back to take your pictures. If you didn't get your picture taken this morning, you can do that when we dismiss. If you go through these folding doors, it'll be the room right off the right in the foyer. So please, if you want to have a picture taken, please take your phone with you, okay? All right? So we got that? Thank you again for coming out. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much this morning for the word that these two mothers brought forth, Lord. And God, we thank you for the grace that's upon their lives. And Lord, we thank you for all the mothers, Lord, that are represented here today. And Lord, we pray that you continue to strengthen them. We just bless them today, and Lord, we just want them to know that you are appreciated today. We value you, and we thank God for you. So we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hold on. That's all right.
We have the van loads of bringing the kids up. So if their kids are not up here, they're bringing them up.
Okay. All right. So if you have children at the bottom, they're bringing them up. So just be looking for them. They're transporting them up as we speak now, okay? If you have children at the bottom, they're bringing them up on the van. So just be a little patient, and they'll be here soon, okay? All right, God bless you. Have a great rest of the day, mothers.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.